Elissa Walker Campbell, welcome back to hour number two at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Time now in our next segment for some NBA news and notes. And it has been, I tell you what, it's been a big week in the NBA. Nothing but net. The 2016 NBA All-Star Weekend, it is in the books. It was certainly memorable. We're definitely going to highlight that in our next segment. Also, just some of the moves that have taken place with the trade deadline. So much to get into with our next guest, who is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Of course, we are inside the Quicken Loans studios, and that is NBA TV's Matt Weiner. He is everywhere, always has the best seat in the house with some of today and yesterday's NBA greats, coaches and players, and be sure and check him out on Beyond the Paint, the monthly magazine-style show hosted by Matt Weiner on NBA TV. It's your first time on the program. Salutations from all of us down here in Houston. How are you, Matt?
So far, so good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're excited to catch up with you, and let's start off our conversation with a quick recap of the NBA All-Star Weekend. Your takeaways from this epic time in Toronto, because it really was awesome.
Well, first of all, the feeling in my extremities is just now coming back.
You're defrosting, yeah.
It was cold. Uh-huh. Now, having said that, Toronto's a great host for the All-Star Weekend. They really do have great NBA fans up there. It's a fantastic, cosmopolitan city. It was just cold. That's all. And as the commissioner likes to point out, basketball's an indoor sport, so it wasn't that big a deal, but you couldn't help but notice it anytime you stepped outside. Then again, the same thing was true last year in New York. Secondly, All-Star Saturday night was the best it's been in years and years and years. The shootout was fantastic. The skills competition was fun.
Yeah.
And the dunk contest was as good as it's been, I don't even know how long back, you know, maybe 15 years back. Just fantastic. I kind of wish they'd ended in a tie and set up the natural rematch for next year. We may get that anyway, but just good stuff all around.
Hey, Matt Weiner from NBA TV is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. The Big E Sports Show, we are interactive, and we would love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. You can always email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. And Matt, you're spot on, because obviously all eyes were on that dunk contest. And I agree with you. I think it should have been a tie.
Yeah, you know, I'm told that was suggested as it got late in the competition, and the guys were just sort of making up dunks, which is a remarkable thing in and of itself. Levine said the last one he did, he'd never done before. Usually they practice all these, you know. They have a certain number in the quiver, so to speak, that they can pull out. And the NBA just, they didn't know what to do with it because they hadn't had this before. And there was no real mechanism in place to make it a tie, so they played it out. But, you know, which is fine. It was great as it was. Gordon did the best dunk of the night, I think, but it was 50 versus 50 versus 50 versus 50, and so there was no winner until Levine's was clearly better in that final round.
Yeah. Hey, the Minnesota Timberwolves, they certainly were represented well at the NBA All-Star Weekend. I thought, Matt, what was really cool was Zach LaVine, how you know, he dedicated that slam dunk contest win to the great and the late Flip Saunders.
Yes, yeah, and it's, you know, this late in the season, I think if you're not in Minnesota, it's easy to forget how their season began with Flip, first of all, taking hiatus and then passing away. You know, fairly quickly the illness overtook him, and that's a lot to go through. And think of a young player like Andrew Wiggins, who was drafted number one overall the year before. He had to wait, 6 weeks until he was traded from Cleveland to Minnesota, wins Rookie of the Year. His coach gets sick. His coach passes away. He's got another number one overall pick in his teammate, Karl-Anthony Towns. I mean, this is not a usual start to an NBA career. And these guys, you know, at age 20, their top three scorers are all age 20. They've been through so much already. There's a lot to like about that team, but I think it's important to occasionally take some time and think about what they've gone through as young pros in this league.
You're listening to the voice of NBA TV's Matt Weiner is joining us tonight right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are recapping the 2016 NBA All-Star Weekend. It was definitely historic. The energy of the city, I think, definitely came through. But I wanted to get your thoughts, Matt, on the final All-Star appearance of Kobe Bryant. What was your impressions?
Well, I mean, forget what happened on the floor. I mean, there were some fun moments where he, you know, went one-on-one with his old teammate Pau Gasol and with LeBron James and a couple other guys. The whole weekend was really a dedication to Kobe. and his 20-year career. Having him speak before the game was cool. He seems to have turned a corner in terms of letting people in a little bit on who he is and his thoughts. He was so guarded for most of his career. That's kind of a fun thing for him to let the guard down. And you can see that he's let go a little bit. You know, he's still competitive, obviously, yeah, in the moment, but he knows the end is near, and I think he's enjoying it without overdoing it, but I think he's enjoying it a little bit, and that's been refreshing. And the entire weekend was really just, it was guys paying tribute to Kobe. And you have to remember, so many of the young all-stars in the league right now grew up thinking Kobe Bryant was the best player they had ever seen. And for them, for guys like Paul George, who has spoken openly about idolizing Kobe as a kid, this is a big deal to see him out and be on the floor with him in his final All-Star game. I think you saw a lot of that, and it was just a cool thing for the league and a cool way for him to wrap up his All-Star career, that he's healthy right now and he could be out there on the floor and have some fun with it.
What an incredible career. What a legacy. But, Matt, do you ever think about what would have happened if perhaps Kobe and Shaquille, if they would have stayed together?
Well, I think they do. I think they do, and I know they do, because Shaq has talked about it on our air. You know, if they could have gotten along a little bit, if they'd been more mature, yeah, absolutely. They think about what might have been. We did a piece on Gary Vee, the longtime Lakers trainer, earlier in the season, and talked to him about the feud, and he, you know, confirmed what everyone has said. It was absolutely a real thing, and it was disruptive to the entire organization because you just didn't know on a day-to-day basis how it might manifest itself. And you know, and he was sort of the go-between for the two of them for a while, because they would both confide in him. And it was an untenable situation. And had they been a little more mature, you know, maybe they pick up another ring or two. But, you know, we'll never know, I guess.
NBA TV's Matt Weiner with us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Let's move ahead, Matt. Let's get your thoughts on what we can expect in what this final 30 games, the second half of the season, I suppose. Who's going to be the biggest threat to the Warriors? We're talking Spurs, Cleveland, Oklahoma City. Who's the biggest threat?
Well, there are a couple different things. First of all, the biggest threat to their pursuit of history, which they have embraced, which I think is great, that they've said, hey, we're here, we might as well try to beat the Bulls record from 95-96. They need to go 25-5 to do that. So I think the biggest threat to that is injury. If they can stay healthy, I really think they're going to do it. Injury is the one factor. The other factor would be rest. One thing that wasn't as prevalent when the Bulls were winning 72 games 20 years ago is teams didn't rest players strategically the way they do now. The Warriors might do that, knowing that they've wrapped up the number one seed if they've done so late in the season. Could that cost them enough games to mess up the record? I don't know. We'll find out. The other factor is, do they need to rest because they've had enough rest in fourth quarters from blowing teams out, which they've done a lot. But to the bigger question in terms of threats, I still think the Spurs are their biggest threat. I picked the Spurs to win the West at the beginning of the season, not realizing that somehow the Warriors would have gotten better, which seemed unlikely at the time. And I don't put too much stock into that first meeting when the Spurs were blown out in Oakland. Greg Popovich will learn from that. They didn't have Tim Duncan in that game, and I know Tim's older and he doesn't play the minutes, but he defensively, he is still a disruptive force, one of the best in the game, not only historically, but he's still one of the best in the game currently, and the numbers bear that out. Their defensive rating is better with him on the floor. His personal defensive rating is fantastic. So three more meetings between them. I'll be interested to see what happens there. But over a seven-game series, there's no one in the league better at making adjustments and tweaking things than Greg Popovich. So I would say San Antonio for sure.
The NBA conversation continues with NBA TV's Matt Weiner after this quick timeout.